Very good evening and welcome one and all to Dr. Rock's radio show this Thursday night. We've got an interesting show tonight. Dom will be on the show later if all goes well, but we heard from him on Vin's show on Sunday and again a bit on the Scottish Sovereign's Monday outing, but technical difficulties prevented a kind of full exploration of the goings on in the management and financial peculiarities of the Occupy movement and the related occupation of the Bank of Ideas, a derelict office building on Sun Street in London. The first half of tonight's show I'm going to be talking in a bit with Rob Fry, who wrote the document which was called Dom's Trial, Mark the Poet and the Democracy Village Shills, that we were working on Sunday. And he's been doing a lot of research into what might basically be called professional activists, and his story ties in basically very nicely with Dom's. His conversation with me should reveal quite a lot of background on the people and the characters and what's been going on there, which is exactly the stuff that Dom has been investigating and getting the rough end of. I think most people are aware that there was what was called a trial of Dom sometime last week in the Bank of Ideas building. And the question arose, Rob says, as to who was trying Dom and why. Why were some seemingly influential components of the Bank of Ideas wanting Dom off the premises? And Rob pointed out that with provision of live high-speed internet access, the UBS building, the Bank of Ideas, is no ordinary squat. Meetings are apparently being held there rather than at the main Occupy site because of these internet streaming and access facilities. But Dom had basically brought to the fore that there's a sort of small group of individuals who are having meetings in secret apart from everyone else and seem to be putting their discussed agenda into force without general discussion with anyone else. And Rob provides some links, as we said, to the case of Mark Kennedy or Mark Stone. There's a case, and he put those links up to show that protest groups have in the past been set up and controlled by the police, to show that there's a precedent for the kind of stuff we're going to be talking about tonight. For those who don't know, Mark Stone was a well-known figure in activist circles, I think for some years, possibly for the best part of a decade. But eventually a passport was discovered that revealed his real name, and he was found after further investigation to be an undercover police officer. And when confronted, he owned up. And the trial of the group that was being observed, that I think he'd been involved with for some 7 years, collapsed. Rob also shows us evidence of activists saying on kind of live media and stuff that they're being paid for what they're doing. And Rob hopefully is going to give us a kind of history of the Democracy Village and groups such as We Are Change, because there seems to be a kind of common link running through them. He spent a lot of time looking into this and finding links with other quite large organisations. One of the things that we spoke about briefly on Sunday was that there's a character called Dr. Nafees Mozadek Ahmed, who appears to be connected with all of this. There's a senior associate of a bunch called Unitas Communications, which deals with media solutions, strategic consultation and reputation management for corporations, governments and NGOs. So there's some very interesting lines of information going on here. I'm going to play another tune whilst I try and make contact with Rob, and we should be back with you in 3 or 4 minutes, hopefully. In the meantime, thanks for being there as ever. I'll be with you soon. Welcome back live to Dr. Rock's radio show on tnsradio.com. Our first guest this evening is Rob Fry, who is author of the article Dom's Trial, Mark the Poet and the Democracy Village Shills, which is an examination of Occupy London and its management and financing. And he's hopefully on the line. Are you there, Rob?
Yeah, I'm Nick.
Very good. Thank you very much for joining us on TNS. We appreciate you making the time for us.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, mate.
That's all right. I mean, you've got some very interesting stuff to say. I mean, I think it'd probably be helpful if we started. What we're trying to do here is, of course, establish the kind of context in which our friend commonly called Dom is operating at the moment, which you say kind of seems to have originated back with a group called We Are Change. Is that right?
Yeah, it's basically, obviously, we are, when as people started waking up to things like the New World Order and 9/11 and all that kind of stuff, basically it was a group that was set up a few years ago called We Are Change, and it was a global movement. And cut a long story short, the guys who I mentioned in the note, Gareth Noonan, Manny Baker, and a couple of others, were effectively the ones that set up that movement in London. So they were the ones that actually got the domain registered and obviously doing the meetups and all this kind of stuff. And a few of the activists who are now my good friends actually were involved in some of that. And basically, I actually wasn't involved with We Are Change. I just knew of it. I was still in the early stages of doing a load of research back then on the New World Order and stuff. But basically, the first big demo that I actually went on where I actually come in contact with these guys was in 2009, and September 11th, there was a protest outside the BBC. So it was a 9/11 protest outside the BBC. And Charlie Beach was there, and obviously a few of the We Are Change lot, and it was a coalition of protest groups that actually arranged it. And that was the first actual time I'd actually seen Andy Baker in person. And there was three of us got there very early, so we were hanging around waiting for the others. And Andy Baker then turned up with his sound system. Then we, obviously, as more people started gathering outside the BBC, a couple of police officers come along, an inspector come along, and obviously started wanting to know what was going on. And Andy Baker had gone over and had a word with him. And then basically the police officer just went away. And a couple of PCSOs then hung around while about 100 people or so did the demonstration outside the BBC for the whole day.
So presumably the BBC called the police in, and once Andy had talked to them, they got these guys with flat hats got replaced by non-policemen.
Exactly, yeah, basically, yeah. And it was the event where Charlie Beach did his Obama dance in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
You know, naked Obama. Just do a search on Charlie Beach Obama and you'll see that video, and that's the protest that we was at. So it sort of didn't dawn on me then that anything was suspicious, because probably like a lot of people listening in, when you first join the protest movement, it's like you've suddenly met a whole load of good buddies who become your friends. It becomes a good social environment, and it's like, wow, you know, people have woken up to the same thing I've woken up.
It's like what you've been waiting for, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And your common sense and your sort of, you know, the sort of guarded personality is dropped a bit, because you think, oh, excellent, I'm with people who I can relate to and blah, blah, blah. So your common sense and this kind of thing goes out the window. So you just go along with it. You go along with the social event. And when anybody suggests anything at all, you just go, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, I'll go along with it, you know. And obviously it might get a bit dodgy, where it might involve, you know, breaking into places or smashing places up or whatever, if it gets too dodgy, if you know, if that's your nature type thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was all sort of non. It was all peaceful stuff, and the BBC demonstration went well and everything. But yeah, as We Are Change obviously started becoming bigger, and the protesters started getting involved, as time went on, from just reading back through the blogs, there was obviously, you know, that there was resentment in the group, and certain protesters weren't happy where the movement was going, and Gareth and Andy Baker and a couple of others were the key founders, and they were the ones running it.
Did that happen very quickly, that disillusion with the thing, or did it take some time?
It took some time, because obviously they arranged quite a lot of protests and stuff. And eventually splinter organisations, like the group called Truth Action, that was formed again by Gareth. And again, some of the protesters that my good friend become part of Truth Action. And that carried on even when Truth Action carried on, even past when Democracy Village was founded. And to cut a long story short with Democracy Village, that was again, as we found out afterwards, set up by Andy Baker, Dean Puckett, and Gareth Noonan, and a few of the others. And that was formed out of one of the eco-villages called Q Eco Village that got closed down by council, and the members just basically had to move all their tents and everything onto the Parliament Square Green.
And that's where what was his name? Rob Hoare, was it? What was his?
Oh, Brian Hoare.
He was already there, wasn't he? So they.
Yeah, he was actually on the pavement.
Right.
So basically, yeah. So it's a similar kind of thing. You had a load of tents come along. It was similar to Occupy. You had a load of tents set up that got moved from Q Eco Village, and you had, you know, basically squatters turn up there, protesters turn up there. Andy Baker with his sound system again, and you had sort of, you know, information gathering sessions and all this kind of stuff. And we'd just actually been, a few of us, me, we was actually in a band at the time, and we actually played outside the David Icke venue, because David Icke was actually performing at Brixton Academy, and we thought, well, we'll entertain the crowd, we'll bring our guitars down, and we performed outside there. And we went from there, we took our guitars down and we went down to see what was going on at Democracy Village. We hadn't been there before and all this, so there was sort of four of us and we were meeting a few other friends down there. And basically, we sort of sat down, you know, nice day, got the, and almost like, just settled down and watched what was going on. And there was quite a few of us around, and there was a couple of guys in front of us that had this, like, almost, it's like, if you've ever seen, like, a Zoom recording device.
Yeah.
It's like one of them. He's sitting there, this guy sitting there just messing with this Zoom thing. It's like recording and stuff. And I think, that's a bit weird. And a few of us noticed these guys in front. And then we're looking around, and you're seeing about three or four people wandering around with these big shoulder, big cameras that you carry on your shoulder. If you've ever been to protest and you've seen the Fitwatch plates where they had the big, like, cameras with the square lenses,
yeah,
it's a bit like those. So they're wandering with these things with mics, you know, the big mics and the cameras on their shoulders, just going around and filming the protesters. You know, you've got about four of these cameras, and I'm sitting there thinking, hang on a minute, these people are, you know, protesters, you know, they were squatters and all this kind of stuff, not knowing it was Gareth or Andy involved with any of this. So, you know, what's going on here? You know, how can they afford all this equipment?
And why would they want to use it when you can use such tiny equipment nowadays?
Well, this is it, exactly right, yeah. These were, rest on your shoulder cameras. And it just seemed a bit weird. And,
yeah.
And then they started doing a presentation about climate change, and obviously we didn't realize, obviously we just assumed that when you know about the New World Order and stuff, you know that climate change stuff is nonsense.
Yeah.
And then suddenly up comes this woman who basically starts talking about, the 390 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and how we must press the government to bring in legislation to stop this. You know, this global warming is the biggest problem man has ever faced. And we go, this is bizarre. And then
you've got personal knowledge of that, haven't you, as well, of the climate change argument itself?
Well, yeah, that's it. That's basically how I started to wake up, because to cut a long story short with that, I was helping my ex-wife for an Open University degree on Earth Sciences. And when you go into it at that level, you're faced with graphs and maths and all that kind of stuff. And she was never very good at that. So I was helping her with that. And basically, when you actually study the real science that you got through the Open University back in 2004, through one of these courses, you actually see that man isn't causing global warming at all. So, of course, when suddenly all these adverts are coming on TV about going green and climate and global warming, as it called back then, both me and my wife, and my wife at the time, she didn't have a clue about the New World Order, nothing like that. You know, even she was going, this is a complete lie, it's not making sense. So we couldn't really, get the gist of what was going on there.
So
I'd done all the science stuff behind that.
Mm.
So and then this woman who's doing the talk at Democracy Village, she's actually quoting some of this science.
Yeah.
You know, so she's quite knowledgeable in the subject. And I think, well, if you're that knowledgeable, you know it's a scam.
Yeah.
So, and they're like saying, we've got to insist the government, prevent climate change, all this. And then then they handed the mic over to someone else, and then there was a bit of a fight, a big scuffle went on, you know, with a couple of the drunk protesters that were there, and we're looking around saying, where's the police? These people were, you know, beginning to get a bit, you know, violent, and no police around anywhere. You know, they got these guys, you've got all these tents on the green, and you've got all these, you know, few drunk protesters on the grass, and no police anywhere. Couldn't see any of them.
And that's really unusual, isn't it? Let's face it, we all know that they're everywhere nowadays.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Anyone that actually goes out and starts protesting somewhere, sooner or later you get questioned by the police. So we were there, and then two guys who were sitting in front of us turned around, and basically my mate who had his guitar, he had a Holly Gregg leaflet actually attached to his guitar, and one of the guys said, you know, what's this? Can I have a look at this? And said, yeah, it's the Holly Gregg case. Do you know about the Holly Gregg case? And this guy sort of looked surprised and said, no. He said, do you mind if I take it? He went, yeah. He just took it, walked off, and then he's looking at his leaflet and starts making phone calls on his phone. We're like, what's that guy doing? And it just seemed really, really weird. So we all just come to the agreement, you know, obviously a few of us have been protesting for a while, that hang on, this is a complete setup. You know, this is like, you know, you're broadcasting the establishment information, you've got the surveillance cameras wandering around videoing everyone. It just seemed weird, and no police, and yeah, not even any PCSOs or anything. So we got the hell out rather quickly.
So it took you just an afternoon to read that one then.
Well, exactly, yeah, that's it. So we sort of left, and then and basically I put up on my Facebook that, you know, complete setup, you know, this, that and the other, and then I got an email from Gareth Noonan basically saying that him and the others had set up Democracy Village, and I basically accused him of being set up and being part of the establishment, which obviously he vigorously defended. And this is before it went onto the pavement. This is before they had the court ruling to move it onto the pavement next to Bryan Hall. And when we were discussing it afterwards, all of us said, hang on a minute, I bet they're there to cause problems with Bryan Hall.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, they got kicked off onto the pavement next to Bryan Hall. And obviously that's when all the trouble with Bryan Hall started, with all Democracy Village. Yeah. You know, they were undermining his campaign. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is look on Bryan Hall's, you know, blog himself, to look at all the run-ins he had with all the Democracy Village people.
I did have a look at that on your recommendation, and yeah, it makes pretty interesting reading, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And some of the protesters who I know had actually stayed down with Bryan Hall when Bryan became ill, and obviously, you know, they all had run-ins in one shape or another with Democracy Village. So again, these guys that had set up Democracy Village, and then they're trying to undermine someone else's protest. And in the meanwhile, Gareth is running another group called Truth Action, again the main set up in his name.
Busy chap, isn't he?
Yeah, I was going to say, setting up all these little organisations and stuff like that. And then what happens with Truth Action is that people start joining that and then becoming disillusioned with the way the movement is going. And about 2 years ago, is again looking for another big 9/11 protest going on. Basically, the Truth Action group and Gareth and the others, Andy Baker, basically agreed that they were going to split off all the protesters into individual protests around London. So all of their groups were going to, one was going to go in Camden, another one was going to go to Hackney, and that was the day of the Thames Festival. And the Thames Festival, if you don't know, it's basically a whole festival that takes over the South Bank, with like numerous members of the public there, stalls and entertainment and all this, perfect place to do a demonstration. And instead what do? They go and disperse their protesters to small little protests, one outside a cafe in Camden, and all this kind of stuff. So what happened is that I'd actually contacted, I got to know one girl that was part of Truth Action. I said, oh, I said, I'd quite like to join your protest, you know. So she said, well, it should start about 2 o'clock. And I went, 2 o'clock, that's a bit late. So anyway, we sort of went down there, and so I actually went down to Camden, and then in the cafe with this girl I was joining was Andy Baker himself. So, and we're just sitting around. I'm like, well, what's going on? Where's the protest? And he's like, well, no, we're just waiting for a van to be delivered with all the leaflets and all the DVDs to sell, and you're going to set up a table outside the cafe, and you're going to try and sell these DVDs. And it's like, this isn't a protest. And to cut a long story short, when I had my run-ins with Gareth for email, basically I said to him, I said, I'll actually, you know, I said, obviously, whatever you are, you know, I think you're a shill, and a lot of other protesters are coming to the same conclusion with what the organisations you've been running and how you've been undermining Brian Hoare. And basically, I said to him, I said, prove to me Democracy Village isn't an establishment set up by moving that protest around the corner and away from Brian Hoare. And I said, that will prove conclusively to everybody that you're not out to hurt Brian Hoare. And obviously he wouldn't even do that, but I said to him, I said, if I ever see you, I'll shake your hand, be as friendly, as nice as you as I can, but I'll shake your hand. And so this protest outside the cafe, this van eventually turned up, and I said to the girl, I said, this is crap. They had leaflets that were like two years old. All they were promoting was something called Truth Rising, which was a bit of an event going on at Passing Clouds in the evening, like a you know, sort of mini disco and entertainment down there.
Yeah.
You know, and basically just DVDs to sell. No banners, no pamphlets, no anything. And I said to the girl, I said, look, let's make this protest, you know. And I'd had some leaflets with me, and we started doing proper protesting about 9/11 and about the New World Order. And we actually made it quite a success. But when I walked back to Passing Clouds, that's when I bumped into Gareth Noonan. And so that was the first time I'd ever met him, and a bit of a shock that I was obviously had become part of his protest group.
Yeah.
You know. And he just didn't know how to act, what to say, or anything.
So that means effectively Andy was in the cafe there, and then after the event you came across Gareth again.
Exactly, yeah. That's it. And that's basically how I met him. And all the entertainment at Passing Clouds was going to go on in the evening. And basically what Gareth had done is that as we saw the other protesters walking back from the other locations, all going back to Passing Clouds, they were all complaining that their protest was crap, that they had no information to give out, it arrived late when they finally got it. It was just a disaster of a protest, when the protest could have been straight down at the South Bank, numerous hundreds of people down there, given that information, then it would have been a fantastic protest.
Yeah, but we know again, from Dom's basic principles, don't we, that wherever there's hundreds of people standing still or protesting, there's basically people that you can go and talk to and encourage to think again.
Yeah, exactly right, and this
amazing,
is it, you know.
Amazing story.
But of course, they undermine it all, you know, and this is how it all came about.
It's serious games playing, though, mate, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, these are not easy or cheap moves to pull off. I mean, obviously, people...
No.
I guess you manage to make sure you keep a kind of cooperative cadre, don't you, by every time your reputation starts getting a little bit stained, you move on and make something else.
Well, exactly, yeah, that's right, and you're controlling... You're not only controlling the movement, you're controlling the information that's put out by that movement. Because what you can do, what Gareth also did, is when We Are Change were about, obviously you have We Are Change members going on to sites like Indie Media and basically writing up about the New World Order, about 9/11 being an inside job,
mm-hmm.
you know, talking on behalf of We Are Change.
Yeah.
And you can actually go and see letters from, sort of, you know, email from Gareth Noonan to Indie Media basically saying, take this post down, this is not what We Are Change are all about, you know, we don't want We Are Change being talked about the New World Order and stuff like that. So he was controlling, he was getting censorship on India media for We Are Change. And one of Brian Hoare's blogs as well talks about that. Gareth also contacted indie media to undermine one of Brian Hoare's information, you know, about Brian Hoare on indie media. So again, it's
once again we can see our concern, or if you like, the uncommon concerns being replaced by orthodox concerns, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is it. It is just. You know, but then controlling the whole situation.
So what did you think We Are Change is about, if it's not about, not, I mean, obviously the people in We Are Change thought it was about 9/11 and the New World Order. What did Gareth seem to think it was about?
Well, yeah, it is about 9/11, but it's the information that they want to spread about 9/11.
I see.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah,
so they'll give you certain parts of the information, but if you start going, as they call it, down the conspiracy road, you know, they were very uncomfortable about that. And if you ask Gareth about things like the New World Order or chemtrails, he's a total flat denier of either of them.
Yeah.
And climate change as well, of course. But this obviously leads on to what happened when I posted up about Democracy Village, because I was quite outspoken about it, and a lot of my other protesters were. Protester friends were a bit uncomfortable with, obviously, you know, me being so vocal, but I thought, well, it's got to be done. Someone's got to actually at least ask the question or challenge these guys. Well, unbeknown to me, there was a guy called Daniel Obuchiki, who is a guy that was allegedly involved in the 7/7
bombings on the bus.
And basically, I didn't know, but after my run-ins with Gareth, I got an email from Daniel saying, look, you know, I see what you've been saying about these guys. I think you better look at my site. And yeah, he's got a site called thefourthbomb.com or .co.uk or something. And he sent me the link, and I looked on there, and lo and behold, basically, what he'd written up a load of articles about Gareth, about Andy Baker, about Alan Murray and a few others who were actually tailing him. So they'll turn up outside his house and all this kind of stuff. Basically, he was accusing them of being MI6, basically. And I'm looking at this thinking, well, these are the same guys I'm talking about. You know, I didn't know. I mean, Daniel has mentioned about 10 or 15 of these guys. And obviously, I had only known about three or four by then, you know, Dean, Puckett, Rob Little, Gareth, and Andy Baker.
Yeah.
So, and Daniel's site went into a lot deeper now. Obviously, Daniel got a bit of a hard time about whether he was actually on the bus and all this kind of stuff. But how I come to what I'd found, and the other protesters who are my friends as well, through their experiences with Gareth, was totally independent of Daniel's experiences with him. So obviously it was like almost like a confirmation. And then when you do searches on Gareth, you'll soon see there's other sites that have gone up actually basically saying that these guys are, you know, shields. It's not just me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of the more outspoken ones about it.
Obviously, but just to give these guys a fair chance, we're up for a fair chat here. If any of these people named here are listening and they want to get in touch with Dr. Rock 2012 or any of the TNS hosts, I'm sure we'd be glad to hear their side of the story as well, eh?
Yeah, exactly. This is it. I mean, they won't answer questions. They're not open about their lives. They give conflicting stories about what they do, how they get their money. You know, some people were told that it's Gareth's family that are funding his activism, and this is full-time activism they do.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised by this, you know, by actually hounding kind of one person. You know, by not only running groups, but then kind of going and giving, you know, Daniel, harassing Daniel and things. It seems to be a pretty detailed and full-time job, certainly.
Well, this is it, exactly. Running all these protest groups and then obviously setting up all these domain sites and websites and stuff and paying for those. Obviously you need a money income.
Well, it's very organized as well. It's really organized, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
Did you get a chance to look into any of the other people that Daniel told you about as well? Because there's four or five that you know about, aren't there?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, basically, another guy called Alan Murray was actually my friend, and he was the first to, you know, start laying into me when I put up my Facebook page. And I didn't even know Alan Murray was part of it until I saw Daniel's site. Daniel's got pictures of Alan Murray with Gareth and with Andy Baker and all that. So it's the same little clique of guys that go from these groups, either controlling it or setting it up and stuff, and obviously paying for the setup of this through whichever organisations they are part of.
Because I'm aware that, you know, the sort of things we've been talking about at the London Occupy are sort of happening at the Bristol Occupy with the meetings and things, and we can perhaps get on to what's going on at the Occupy.
Yeah.
And the behaviours are very similar, and it makes a lot more sense if we know there's 10 or 15 people doing this sort of thing rather than just the few.
Yeah, exactly, this is it. And obviously you're going to get, if them being part of an establishment group, now whether they're Metropolitan Police or what, nobody knows. Obviously the Special Demonstration Squad, if you do searches on that, you can get information about that. They might be, they might not. You just don't know, because short of getting a private detective on them, you're not going to know.
No, although
you know, but they're part of the establishment in one shape or another anyway. It's pretty obvious to most people now.
Yeah. So at what point did you become aware that they were they're involved at the Occupy? Or how did they sort of move? Where did they move from Democracy Village, did they, to the Occupy?
Well, yeah. Basically, Democracy Village still is there, but they've handed over control of it, if you like, to a woman called Maria. And you read all about Maria on Brian Hoare's website. So they hand over control of what they've set up to somebody else, and then they move on to another site. So basically what happened is that after the expose of Gareth, I got notified by a mate of mine about a guy called Nafiz Ahmed.
Yeah.
Nafiz Ahmed basically has written some global policy documents for Chatham House.
Yeah.
And basically he has come out basically saying 9/11 was an inside job and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, getting involved with the protest movement, or not getting involved, but you know, he's writing things,
aligning himself with them, apparently.
Exactly right. Yeah, that's it. So you know, not even realizing. So I've read these guys' document. You know, I'm thinking, well, what's an establishment guy like that, you know, suddenly getting involved, you know, lining yourself up with conspiracy theorists, if you like.
Yeah.
So then obviously, following on from that, then suddenly Dean Puckett, who's obviously the filmmaker, and Gareth had confirmed it's Dean Puckett's film equipment that was being used at Democracy Village, makes a film called Crisis of Civilization.
Yeah.
And basically it's a, you know, again, it's that humanity is causing all the problems in the world. It's all our fault, nothing to do with the governments, you know, nothing to do with an evil elite. It's all our fault. We've got to change our way of living. You know, we've got to stop climate change and all this kind of stuff. So it's effectively a propaganda film.
This guy, just so that people know, this guy, Nafiz Ahmed, is a senior associate with that Unitas Communications Group.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out, on June the 27th, 2011, Unitas Communication, it says here, have today been appointed to deliver both local and national media positioning on behalf of the Edmund de Rothschild Foundation. Unitas CEO Mudassar Ahmed said it's an honour to work with one of the world's oldest philanthropic foundations. We hope to see this partnership flourish.
Yeah, exactly right.
This don't make your hair stand on end.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, you see Dean Puckett then teaming up to make this film with Nafiz Ahmed, you know, who is, you know, working on the steering committee for Unitas, now funded by the Rothschild family.
Yep.
And Gareth obviously then diverts his attention to doing the promotion for Crisis of Civilization with Dean Puckett. So you're getting both these guys now working with an establishment, you know, liar, if you want to call him that, because he's promoting all the Club of Rome, you know, overpopulation, global warming agenda. So it's like, hang on a minute, you know about the New World Order, Gareth, you know about 9/11, yet you're working with these same guys that, you know, are running the show.
It's not so much sitting on the fence as straddling it entirely.
No, it's doing business with them, yeah, exactly, yeah. Right, yeah. You know, getting in bed with them. So it's, you know, and of course everyone says, show me the proof, show me the proof. But like I said, you know, how are you going to get proof to prove in a court of law that that's what these guys do? But, you know, they're showing by the fruits of their labour what they do. You can see what they do. So it's so obvious now to most people, especially with the Unitas communications link. And obviously how that's connected into Occupy, because on the 15th of December, that Gareth was actually promoting and showing the Crisis of Civilization film down at Occupy.
So once again, we've got the alternative, the if you like, the genuine alternative agenda, which is, I'm sure, what most of the, well, I know it's what most of the Occupy people are doing there, because I've talked to them, is actively being replaced by the other side of the argument consistently.
Exactly right, yeah, that's it, that's it.
Just so people know as well, that Unitas forum says that it's had delegates in the past that have included UK Parliament, UK parliamentarians, senior UK and European corporate leaders, senior UK civil servants, media professionals, US congressional and State Department advisors, and grassroots activists.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, they confirm it on the website now. I'd love to know who these grassroots activists are. Do you know what I mean? Love to get the names of them, you know, from Unitas. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, you know? It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, but basically, I mean, with Occupy and Anonymous, I've been down there a few times, you know, giving out New World Order leaflets and doing bits and pieces down there. not regularly, because obviously some of my mates and stuff like that had suspicions about Occupy from day one, just the way it was all being handled and in the press and all this kind of stuff. And it doesn't stop us going, doesn't stop us any of us going down there, you know, because it's part of the establishment.
There's a lot of valid ideas. One of the things I like to keep bringing to the fore here is what I see there is a lot of people who are actually experimenting with community, with swapping ideas, with living side by side with people who've got different ideas from them and being proud of that. And all the there's a mass of stuff on the ground which is really important, which of course is why these people are there.
If it wasn't important,
they wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you basically turn up at the, because obviously the TUC marches are organised protests because Brendan Barber, who is the head of the TUC, is also a non-executive director of the Bank of England.
Really?
So that's an establishment set protest. So the TUC is run by the establishment. So again, but it doesn't stop you going along and giving the information you need to give out.
It's more and all the more important that you do, I'd say.
Exactly right. So yeah. So that's obviously how, you know, we'd uncovered about Gareth and Dean Puckett. And then obviously when Dom's trial came up, you know, John's trial in open quotes.
Yeah.
Basically that's when I went down to you know, to find out what was going on. And I didn't ever expect Andy Baker to actually turn up as being one of these so-called accusers. I knew he was down there with his sound system, because they were using his sound system down there, I knew that, but I didn't expect him to be one of the accusers. And then obviously when he walked in with his entourage of 15 other people, and they all come in at the same time, all come in together, that's why I said in the note that I put my head in the hands, because I just knew it was the same little clique who are trying to control and push other protesters around in some shape or another.
Yeah, and of course one protester that definitely seems to need pushing around is our friend Dom, because he's trying to ask questions about things that they don't want to talk about.
Exactly right, this is it. And I mean, when we were at the GA, there was another guy, and I mentioned it in the note, and we actually met him afterwards as well and found out his name, and he's done a little video as well of obviously challenging the mysterious guy who's got his head wrapped up, you know, in a scarf and with the glasses on.
Yeah.
Basically, again, going up to him and asking him, where's the money? You know, where's all the finances going? And again, no answer.
And it does. It does seem that they were playing those two. It seems to me that the people who were organising the meeting wanted to be having a go at Dom. But a lot of the people there, it seems to me that the question about the finances came up two or three times.
Exactly right, and they immediately changed the subject because, you know, the facilitator then turned round to the other guys, you know, who Andy Baker brought in, and of course they asked them a brand new question, so the question was not even answered, and it was no answers again, and they just refused to answer it. And like I said before, it comes down to transparency. If, like I said to you, if I think you're a shill and I call you a shill, you say, well, no, I'm not a shill. This is why, you know where I work. I'll take you to my work. I'll take you to my home. You know, meet my family, blah, blah, blah. And that's the same with my other fellow protesters. Some of them know my family. A lot of them know where I work and at least what I do and how I do it. They've seen me work. So, you know, you're transparent about your life for the most part, you know. But these guys are just not transparent about anything. And that's the secrecy behind it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So in the end, yeah, there was also people kind of basically talking over everything as well, wasn't there? So as well as changing the subject, there was a lot of noise being made by these guys that came in.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. So, well, the interesting thing is I didn't mention in the note, that's worth a mention, I'm sure it's going to come out on the video, was basically... there was an announcement that Bank of Ideas have managed to purchase some condoms and some lube, if anyone needs any. and they're looking at purchasing some pregnancy test kits as well for the Bank of Ideas people who stay there. So, of course, it's good to know that the money that Bank of Ideas are getting from Occupy is being spent on really useful things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, quite amazing. So, you mentioned in your note that all of the money's gone to some obscure little climate change group.
Yeah, exactly. And Dom's video uncovered that when he challenged them in Starbucks. Basically, they admitted that it's gone into a mysterious bank account as part of the climate camp, which again, climate camp, promoting climate change and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Again, it's either a government set up protest group or at least by naive people who don't understand who happen to have a bank account as part of a protest group.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If I'm going to set up a protest group, the first thing I wouldn't think of is setting up a bank account.
No, I can see that's a fair point.
Do you know what I mean? So again, it's like it's a matter of using your common sense and saying, hang on a minute, something sounds a bit sus and you've got to keep asking questions and...
Yeah.
And if you don't get the answers, then obviously keep going. And obviously there's enough evidence there just based on the missing money and the people involved to basically say, for all of Occupy to get together and go up to these guys and say, we want you the hell out of here. We don't want to have anything to do with you.
And that is absolutely the solution that you're offering, isn't it? And I think it's I think it's a fair enough point is that... is that there is a solution for the people that are sort of, you know, genuinely protesting and stuff, that these are high enough profile people now.
Yeah, and, exactly. Well, this is it. I mean, I've had things thrown at me before. It's like, why concentrate on shills and internal fighting? Well, what you've got to realise, the elite get by lying, by killing people, by at least threatening to kill people, and by deceiving and stealing money.
Yeah.
That's how the elite work. But in the Occupy organization, you've got people doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
They lie, they're stealing money, they're threatening to kill people, at least threatening to hurt people.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that the Mark Edward thing goes to court in the first place.
That's one thing I'd like to talk a little bit about, Mark Edward's behaviour in that meeting, because of course that's going to be key to what Dom wants to talk about.
Exactly, he threatened me. He got very uncomfortable with me sitting there. All I did was get a text message on my phone, and he's accusing me of having some kind of recording device. He's at least a very paranoid person, but he's obviously I've heard so many tales about him, and even one of his friends, and I will mention her name is Tammy, actually says that he brings it on himself.
Mm.
You know, and that's one of his own friends, and she obviously is defending Occupy, and defending Mark, but even she admits he's bringing it on himself.
It has been observed before, hasn't it, that the paranoid are paranoid for a good reason.
Exactly, you know, right, and that's it. And we're not talking that, because you might accuse me of being paranoid, but, you know, it's only a handful of people that we actually accuse, and it's the same people who we've been accusing for about 2 years.
And you've given them a chance of answering you, you've asked questions, and you've made public, it's not like you're talking behind their back, is it?
No, exactly right, and this is it. This is it, exactly the point. If they're doing the same as the elite, you've got to expose them.
Yeah.
You know?
What was the thing that happened with Mark, and I couldn't quite catch up with who it was that was attacking who when you went to the pub after all of this and found yourself in the same watering hole as...
Well, what it was, basically, when we were all outside, there was me, Dom, and the other people who had come along to defend Dom, and suddenly there was a bit of a scuffle down the street, and we didn't really pay attention to what it was, and we didn't realise that it was Mark Edwards getting involved in a fight further down the street, and the police van came along and basically arrested him, I believe. So again, Mark Edwards had caused some trouble further down the road after he left the meeting, getting into another fight. Mm. You know, with someone who I believe was from Occupy, another Occupy guy. If the guy's not a shill, he's got some serious problems.
Yeah. Well, that's been really brilliant, Rob, that has. I mean, we're coming up to 7 o'clock now, and I think you've done us proud there. We can listen to what Dom's got to say now and understand the background to it all.
Yeah, exactly.
I think your advice at the end to the Occupy movement, which is expose these shills and get these shills out of Occupy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're a group. Just go up. There's enough of you to do it. Just get these guys out of it.
Yeah. And you've obviously done a lot of work over time on all of this. You've got a very coherent set of ideas there. Are you going to be putting them down in text as a blog, or is it going to be made available to us? Because we put up your last one. I think it's available on TNS.
Yeah, exactly. I can write up notes fairly regularly based on what's going on and information and stuff. Yeah, that's not a problem at all.
Very good. Yeah. And obviously I'd be really pleased if you can come on the show anytime you like and tell us of any interesting things that you think the world needs to know about.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Okay, yeah, thanks for having me on.
That's all right. Thanks very much for being here. I'll give you a ring later on.
Yeah, brilliant, mate.
Thank you very much. I'll play the people a tune now and see if I can't get in touch with Dom. Hang on a moment, I'll be back with you in a sec. Yeah. So here you go, mate. Folks. I'm going to play another quick tune for you whilst I tie up with Dom, and we'll be back with you shortly. Hello, welcome back live to Dr. Rock's radio show on tnsradio.com. I'm pretty sure that I've got Dom on the other end of the line, who's washed his hair specially for the radio folks tonight, and he's got a couple of other people with him. So are you there, Dom?
I am indeed. I'm here loud and clear. I've also got a couple of other people that have witnessed to the facts of what's going on down the Occupy movement, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Mark Windows. I also have a Land of the Free site, or landoffthefree.co.uk. So it's great to be on Tea and the Saw. I'm with Donnie here, Donnie Jackson. He's going to introduce himself.
Also known as My Scotsman, and I've got a website, independentvnews.co.uk.
I'm Barry Anton. I research alternative information. I'm getting into filmmaking. I was at the Occupation for about a week and a half when it started.
Okay, the last two need to be a bit closer to the mic, but we can basically hear you all, I think. First two quite clearly, the second two are a bit more distant, Dom.
Okay, cool.
Take it away,
right, matey. Now, basically, as you've been talking about the Occupy and what's going on, and the attempted eviction from a kangaroo trial of me, and everything else that's going on, there's been some wild claims made it's looking like we shouldn't be asking questions when we're asking, we want transparency and we're finding stuff out. And one of the claims that has been made, which is finding hard to find a link to, is the Bank of Ideas Limited Company. Now, it does look very, very suspect, so I thought we'd look into it more. And how it come upon me was somebody heard within the movement that somebody else had to have a say-so, because they're a shareholder. And then I was passed a Google Maps business card that they've registered as a business on Google Maps, And I thought, right, it looks like they are a business. So then I started finding this stuff out, and obviously you're going to come to a bit of a stone wall when you're looking into corporations. But we found out something very, very interesting, and it seems to be very dark, especially what Darren Diogi's been talking about with it being like a social engineering experiment from the powers that be. Now, if you go down to these things, we was listening in a bit on Rob's show, and when I came around to Mark's this evening, we were talking about, well, they were saying that they've got a video to go up, which is of the General Assembly, them trying to use the Delphi technique and pass the things through and speed things up and pass things over that they don't want to talk about. So they're going to put that video up, and it's made me think, maybe these guys aren't SHIELDs, and the evidence that's come forward, which is really dark, is the Tavistock Institute are going down there doing social dreaming events. And if you know who the Tavistock Institute are, they came from the Tavistock Clinic, which was all Rothschild funded, and it's all about mind control and teaching people how to think or what people are going to think, and they can predict it and manipulate through their mass media and all their avenues of propaganda.
And I've actually, as you know, Dom, I've had personal experience of the Tavistock Institute, because I used to work, as I told you, I used to wash up in a university hall of residence, and we had conferences when the students weren't there, and the Tavistock Institute used to come in every year, twice a year, and basically people used to arrive very happy, you know, because they're coming to a conference, staying at Hall of Residence, you know, we all, you know what it's like, be a bit of a way, have a bit of a play. But over the course of the conference, and I think they lasted 2 weeks, these people would slowly but surely be worn away. You'd see the quantity of the cigarette, there'd be so many cigarettes in the ashtrays, you couldn't see the ashtray, they were getting through boxes of Kleenex. And then in the last bit of the conference, they'd rebuild these people anew, and they'd, you know, no longer be like that. So I think I had no idea what was going on there. It seemed like a pretty cruel process. But I'm amazed to think that these people are, and social engineering is exactly what it is. So,
very, very dark when you're looking at this Occupy movement, and dating back to before the 9th of November, they were having talks with the Occupy movement and wanted to do daily events. And since then, they've been going up there regular and putting events on and asking people about their dreams and then interpreting their dreams for them. And it seems to me, it's like you look at the names of the people that are involved, very dark, dark avenues. Do you know what I mean? The Tavistock Institute and the Occupy movement, climate camp, grassroots activists, which are on the list of people that are in contact with Chatham House.
Yeah.
And it's Chatham House, grassroots, climate camp, NLP experts. You can see what's going on.
Yeah.
Surely.
It sounds like it's been building up as well, you know, that there's a more intensity of this.
Well, this is it. Like, the reason that I brought Mark and Donnie and everybody else down to have a look at what I'm looking at, but with some camera equipment, we got some really strange responses, and I've seen some stuff tonight that they told me about at the time, but because so much is going on, you don't take it in fully.
Yeah.
But when you see it on video and see what they're saying on video and what you're not actually catching in the moment, there's a lot going on. Like, these people that are holding the GAs, there are very, very minimal people that are controlling a huge group.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing the films of that, because, as you know, they weren't very keen on having TNS radio streaming live from the General Assembly meeting in Bristol, were they?
They weren't keen on having their own live stream. And even Charlie Veach phoned me up and said he's not going to post the video up, and I asked him why not, and he said because he supports the Occupy movement. I said, okay. But when you think about it, well, if you support that kind of a movement, surely you would want transparency and questions asked, so you know it's for the benefit of the people and not an orchestrated revolution again.
Yeah, quite so.
That also means Charlie knows that they exposed herself. and the video. That's why he doesn't want to post it up. If he's supposed to occupy, he's not wanting to put the video out. It means he knows they've exposed themselves on it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. So when do we get to see this video? Because obviously we've seen some of these General Assemblies and been talking about them for a while. When do you reckon the video will be up, Dom?
When do you reckon?
Well, there's quite a lot of work to do. We took a lot of footage. There's hours and hours and hours of it. And we've got it into like a 20-minute film at the moment, but it basically reiterates the same point. All that we're doing is asking them for information, which they are refusing to give us, on stonewalling us and then trying to sidetrack us with anything they can, especially Dom was sitting there. And we've got it all on video, exactly the techniques they use. And also Delphi technique. And also the conspiratorial
Can you just describe the Delphi technique for us, for those of us that don't know what it is?
Well, it's basically they have an agenda and they appear to give you a choice. But anything that's not on their agenda doesn't get talked about. And they do it with a variety of different techniques, but it's not actually very intelligent when you watch it in action, because to anybody who goes there, they can basically see through the process, you know, of what's happening. But Dom's been to quite a few of these General Assemblies, haven't you?
Yeah, it's the same old every time. If you want to talk about a subject and you want to put something across that they don't want to put across because they have their agenda and their own things to push through, then they'll have a certain amount of people sitting in the crowd, and they'll just move it along to them and change the subject. And some are quite good at the technique, like they were talking about the rules, and the guy on the legal team put a candle out by using a fire extinguisher, and it was CO2 canister, and it was in everyone's face. And I was like, well, rules are getting made by this process. And rules are getting broken, and people feel they need to fulfil the duty of the rule, enforcing the rules, otherwise the occupation will fall apart and it might be their fault. And it's like, this process is obviously not working. I kept saying the same thing. And they would say, well, what we should be talking about now is the copper. It's like, well, I had to put my hand up again and say exactly the same thing. It's the rules, how they're getting made, and the process that puts them in place. And then the girl said, who you can see on this video, she goes, well, what I think he's talking about is the candles. And it's like, I felt like saying, you know, stick the candles where the sun don't shine. But I've just basically gone, put my hand up again and said, no, what it is the rules. After about six times of it, I've had to get up and walk out of the meeting because other people are starting to realise I'm asking one simple question. And it doesn't get talked about because they need that process, they need that format in place. Mm. That's all been set up, pre-arranged for some agenda. Whether they know that they're fulfilling this for other means or not is another questionable matter.
And why are they, why do you
think... Did the Tavistock Institute book themselves in? What's going on?
Also, with these GA meetings, it seems to be one group of the camp enforcing rules upon the rest of the camp. And I was there for civil disobedience, but not much of that was actually going on when they were playing into the hands of the corporations and abiding by health and safety regulations. And they wasn't letting us go to the toilet until after 12 o'clock at night. So really, they're trying to force protesters out of there and not want them to be there and feel comfortable there, shutting the kitchen at night so people can't get stuff.
Well, the whole setup's quite interesting because it's got this Cat 5 cable going through there, which is very high quality fast broadband going through the whole building.
Yeah.
And I was watching, I think it was Charlie Beach's video, where he's got that girl Tilly running around. And there's a few of them, just a few of them in there who just seem to be like this hub of very highly organised rich kids running around.
Yeah.
None of them really want to talk to you or give you answers. We've got all that on the video, which should be out, I would say, over the next week. It's very, very revealing, because basically what they do is they stitch themselves up. They make themselves completely suspicious. They have no transparency. And there's a part in Charlie's video where she was saying, well, we had the accounts changed over. And now, this is a place that's meant to be a squat.
Yeah. That's one of the questions I had, is that, you know, I know people who are successfully managing to resist all sorts of payments and the CSA and the electricity and all of that, but I don't know anybody who's found a way of getting around the telecommunications thing. If you don't pay them or whatever, you don't get your service, do you? So how have they got a service in what's basically a squat, do we think?
That's what we were talking about, right? See, when we first walked into that building, right? They've got about 40-odd computers in there streaming high broadband, right? And I noticed it was all plugged in through RJ45s. Then I looked at the ceilings. There was a lot of ceiling tiles moved, right? And it looks like quite new Cat 5 cable, right? Now, that building's meant to have been abandoned for 10 years. So who's put this Cat 5 cable on?
Yeah.
And also, somebody must be paying a very big bill for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
what we need to find out is who's actually buying this.
It's funny
who's
enough.
Who's actually buying BT or whatever, where they're running on a high-speed broadband for it.
Yeah, I don't know whether they've changed it, but when we went to look at Google Earth at the site opposite you, because we were looking at the cameras that are mounted on the building opposite the occupied building, and I don't know whether they've changed the photo, but there was actually... There was a direct labour vehicle of somewhere that some sort there, and there was also a security van, a security services and communications van in the photograph. And you can see that the road outside's been recently dug up as well. I just thought, given the subject matter here, it was quite an interesting photo to see.
Yeah, that's very interesting. But yeah, we were in there all day, and. It seems to have started off that you've got all these celebrities wanting to go in there and the guy from Radiohead turning up, etc. It seems to have dwindled out into something that, where there's nothing really happening. When we walked in, they were talking to people from the Carnegie Institute, weren't they? Mm. The Andrew Carnegie thing. And I said, oh, that's very benevolent of Carnegie to be in here. And this woman gave me a filthy look. But I think some of these people have been co-opted. But I think what it looks like is behind it, it looks like, on the face of it, it looks as though these companies who are benefiting from the global warming and the climate change scam are somehow involved. That's what it appears to be at the moment. But we haven't got the direct evidence. We've got the Bank of Ideas Limited is on Companies House. It was incorporated on the 10th of the 8th, 2009. It's still dormant on Companies House. However, on another site that Rob Fry that dug up, it was actually active. So
it's started occupying.
Since it kind of coincides with the time that they got into the building, or slightly before, I would say.
There's clearly a lot more to be found out here, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, the company directors, Victor Beryl.
Is it what?
Right, and, we've done a lot of searches on him,
yeah.
And it goes back to he's a telecommunications engineer and advisor to the Chilean government and transport.
Oh.
I mean, he registered a Chile address on the company's house for the Bank of Ideas Limited, and his father is also a very powerful doctor, Dr. Victor Perro. He's in high positions.
Okay, is that Pharaoh as in the Egyptian?
Hang on, Nick. We still haven't found any ties between Victor and the Bank of Ideas, like, building and stuff.
No, that's the only thing.
All this our questions were about, which Dom kept repeating, was, basically, we're trying to find out. The only thing they had to do was say, no, the Bank of Ideas Limited has nothing to do with us, yet they wouldn't deny it.
Right, well.
And failure to deny is as good as an assent, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah, I mean, there was also this girl who was with one of the... There was the facilitator of the meeting, and there's these two women sat next to him. One of them was running around earlier on and said, does anybody mind being filmed? And then she put a bandana over her face for the whole of the meeting. And her and this other woman... What's the other woman's name, Dom?
I actually don't know.
But she's always the one who comes in and says, oh, would anyone like to have a talking circle, you know?
Yeah.
And
need to be for a different meeting.
Yes, they kept leaving the room, and that's clearly shown on the video. They kept nudging each other, talking and running in and out, looking over at us. It was all very conspiratorial, but I think there were a few genuine people in that room, but the majority of them seem to be, you know, these people who were controlling it, really. The fact that they had about half of the meetings real people, I think that really gave them a problem. Because we did this, I don't know whether Rob told you, we did a similar thing when we went to the Transition Towns meeting. And they had to minute everything we said. So you've got people trying to promote the peak oil and the global warming scam, and you've got climate change deniers in there. But it was very interesting and very revealing on the film, because they are transparency is not their strong point, I would say.
What would be interesting, what you said, you know, that other man you were talking about, right? She took minutes of that meeting. So it would be interesting if we could get the copy of the minutes and then look at the video and see how they've done the minutes to that video.
That would be very interesting. That would. We have seen some minutes on the internet from the Occupy LSX meetings, and they follow exactly the same pattern that you're describing. You can actually see people being pushed off the point, even in...
No, we're on about the meeting from that night.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that comes up in the film as well, because these two young people have come down to occupy Newcastle, and Dom's friend was saying, well, have you noticed that the people on the ground are changing? Other people are coming in who we don't know who they are, and all of a sudden they're taking over. And that was very apparent at Occupy St. Paul's. All of a sudden, you've got these kind of people who are highly organised, taking it over and controlling the agenda. And at St. Paul's, what they were saying was, what we need to do is split everyone into groups, which is the first step to divide and rule the whole thing.
That was Saskia and Rob.
Yes, and Ben. This guy Ben.
Yeah, they call them working groups, but they're more like broken groups, because all they're doing is talking about problems. They're not actually focusing in what the true solution is. They're setting up bank accounts, putting funding in there, and then like power corrupts absolutely, and they're getting the fever of control. Whether they know that they're doing it, they're trying to control others to be free of that system. And if they don't know they're doing it, I bet they've been chatting with the Tavistock Institute.
Interesting how it's been diverted into climate change. I think people should be questioning that.
The climate change does keep coming up, doesn't it?
Mm.
Didn't you discuss...
This woman who's the registrant for the bankofideas.org, it's a woman called Daisy Golding.
Yeah.
Which at the meeting, Dom brought that. Maybe you should tell us about that, Dom.
Well, the thing is, at the time, I'm sure I saw a link where it said Daisy Golding, the registrant of Bank of Ideas Limited.
Dom.org.uk.
No, Limited. Oh, that was at the time, and that's what I quoted. And the thing is, now, the only thing I can find is Daisy Golding, registrant of bankofideas.org.uk, and the thing is, that might not be a link at all, once again, but like, I think whether it's a corporation or not, the money has still gone into Climate Camp Action Bank account. Climate Camp seemed to have a big tie on it. They wrote in their publication about Climate Camp disbanding and falling apart and Climate Camp dying, and then the very last bit of the article was Long Live Climate Camp, and it was blatantly hinting that they could tap into UK Uncut, the student protests, and all these other marches that have been going on through the year, and who knows, maybe set up a training camp in the Square Mile. And it's like, okay, so Climate Camp, your huge finger is in this pie. This pie stinks, it's gone off. And I want to find out, like, who made the pie, and let them know that you cannot occupy.
Yeah. I've got... Was this meeting you were in on the 31st of December, was it? Were you in there then?
The meeting on the 31st of December.
Yeah. Just because I've got...
I'm not too sure of that one. I went down there New Year's Eve, where basically we got to the door, and there was a guy that turned up to do a 10 till 3 o'clock meditation, and he was turned away because he wasn't on a working group. And it's like, you're mental, you know what I mean? This geezer's turned up to do meditation, he's a peaceful bloke, he's well loved, and you're turning him away because he's not part of a working group. And then, like, when I went in the building and I started seeing everyone in there, everyone's coming up to me saying that security guard on the door, Matthew, with the ponytail and glasses, he's got to go. And I was like, why? And he's going, he's not letting absolutely anyone in. And then, like, in the end, some geezers tried grabbing hold of him and throwing him out the door. And it was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then, like, all of a sudden, this woman's getting strangled by a bloke in a wheelchair. And then I've gone over there, he's pulled on to my jacket, grabbed hold of my scarf. And it was like, I'm getting strangled at this point, I'm getting thrown about. In the end, they've let everyone in and kicked me, her, and my mate out.
Right. Yeah, there's...
It's really mental, dude. The mind games that they're playing with people. There's one guy there that said, I don't like you. And it's like, why not? I've never liked you. We've never spoke. That's right, you're trouble. And it's like, really? So you're hearing that I'm trouble, and you're believing that. You've never spoke to me. Have a think about it.
Have you? It says in the chat box here, Dom, that they were asking you to set up a common law study group or something like that, but have you been back in since then?
I haven't been back down there, because, like, at the end of the day, if you're going to keep getting assaulted, and assaulted and assaulted, alright, you can only do it so many times before you're showing people. And I don't think these people mean to do it. I think they're defending something so deeply from the heart that they can't actually see what they're defending and know the full ESP of what's going on. It's craziness when you're looking into online and you're being in contact with people all over the world saying, right, these people are involved, these people are involved. You have a look, you find connections, and you're like, this doesn't look good, guys. Especially the Tavistock Institute is saying the deepest, darkest revelation I've found so far on it.
Yeah, when you said that you weren't so sure that the people we're talking about are shills because of the presence of the Tavistock, what did you mean?
Well, if the Tavistock Institute are well known for doing mind control, they even, like, designed Coronation Street. They're, like, huge on group mind control, mass mind control.
Which is what soap operas...
This Occupy movement is a huge social experiment with Tavistock. They're on regular meetings. It's like, what is going on? All, if you look up Tavistock Institute, Occupy, you'll see that they've been down at the London LSX one multiple times doing this dreaming exercise.
That's amazing, that is, because the dreaming thing is quite important as well. Also, I was struck by your comment about Coronation Street, because of course the soap operas are social engineering. They were stated from the start to be. The point was to put government plot lines into people's heads, wasn't it?
Yep.
And so now they're actually doing it on the ground, because one of the things that struck me about Rob's talk was how detailed this is. When all this moving around from one organization to another and working on ways of splitting groups up when there's times when they could actually be useful together. And I mean, it does seem to me that there probably are a few simple rules that are being enacted to control us, but the divide and rule is the one that's being used over and over again.
Yeah.
So what about, how's things going with the, was his name Mark Edwards, the man that you had a bit of a scuffle with? What's happening on that front?
Well, I've just been going over the CCTV again, and this is in front of three witnesses here that have just watched it. Am I guilty to the facts that I've ever done anything wrong to this man, or was I trying to split up a fight and I got strangled and I headbutted the floor because I was convulsing after being blacked out?
Well, that's pretty much what happened, because, this guy had assaulted a passerby and punched him in the head. Then Dom went over, and then next thing, other people were trying to get involved and hold this guy back a bit. And then Dom's been thrown at the pavement and he's concussed. Yeah, that's what the CCTV shows.
Dom wasn't even one of the first people over.
No, there was a lot of people around.
All pushing and shoving.
Yes, Dom arrived on the scene quite late, really.
Mm. And Mark Edwards has walked free from court the other day. I haven't been served a notice or an invitation or summons to turn up to court at all for this matter, and they're saying it's been thrown out of court because they failed to locate witnesses, yet I've still got to go to court tomorrow.
What, on the same matter?
Yep.
So how come they couldn't find any witnesses, Dom?
Well, I don't know. If they're imposing bail conditions upon a name, and they're looking for that name as a witness for court, then, like, they've got no excuse. Now, the thing is, I've got to play a role tomorrow.
and turn up to court and do what I do, do my magic in court, and either they listen to what I've got to say or we take it to the next level. It's quite that simple.
Yeah.
What I don't understand, though, right, is obviously looking at the CCTV, you can clearly see that Mark Edwards is assaulting that gentleman, right? Now, even if the guy didn't want to press charges, the police have still got evidence watching him assault the guy.
Yeah.
So why could they still not prosecute him if the guy didn't want to press charges?
Right, do you want to hear their view on exactly what happened on this DVD?
Go on then, if it's listenable to you, yeah, that'd be great.
No, listen to their view.
Yeah, I would, yeah.
You see.
Well, it looked like Dom ran over to stop a fight and prevent it. Mark got a bit angry. He'd obviously assaulted a guy before that. And then the police come and they arrested Dom as well as Mark, when Mark was acting aggressively to the police as well, so... I don't understand that.
You can clearly see Dom getting strangled, and when anybody strangles you, you start to lose consciousness. I mean, that's what happens when you get strangled, is you're cutting off the blood supply to the brain. So you can see Dom getting into a convulsion and falling and hitting his head on the ground.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's clear, it's daylight.
And, Presumably that evidence could have been made available for Mark's hearing as well, but wasn't. Did you get hold? How did you get? Is that easy to get hold of, the closed circuit TV stuff?
Well, basically, I asked for the evidence. I want all the evidence for this case brought before me before I say anything in a courtroom. Now the thing is, they're failing to disclose anything. All they've given me is CCTV. Haven't given me everything that I've asked for.
So what's your plan?
Go in there and do what I do best. And people that know me and want to go to court tomorrow, you've got my contact details, contact me and I'll tell you where it is.
Yep, well that's a good idea. Anybody who wants to go and support Dom, that can numbers always help a bit, don't they?
Well, I've got a good number of people coming with me anyway.
Yeah. And what about the investigation? Because effectively you're not getting into the bank of ideas anymore. Where are you thinking of going with your investigations on that?
I think Tavistock Institute says it all.
Yeah.
They're getting mind controlled. It's quite simple. It is a social experiment.
The whole setup in there is like a cult, really. The little wavy hands and the codes that you have to use to communicate, it's very, very, very strange. And also, to anyone going in there with any intelligence, it is like being with people who are subnormal. You know, right. It's very similar to what transition towns were doing. They approach you as though you're a complete child, which is all part of the globalism and the New World Order basically is about that, is to make everybody completely controlled and not having an opinion, and that's really what they're about. It's like, so nobody will have an opinion, and that's what these meetings are about not having an opinion and following.
Did you know I've noticed a secret Freemason handshake within the Occupy movement?
No, I didn't notice that. Didn't know that, Dom.
Yeah, it's called Jazz Hands.
Yeah. And look, what about the people that are there with kind of like, you know, they are there for their own reasons? Are they being changed by this? Is it making them want to get out of there and do something different, or are they just knuckling under?
Right, you know how good Darren Brown is, yeah?
Yeah.
Can you imagine living with people like that? That's what's going on down there. People are living there, using that as an experiment, and fucking hell. Oh, sorry, radio, but like... You got to live down there to experience what is truly going on, and it is—it's dark stuff. I've been trying to look for the past few weeks for links between Common Purpose and the Occupy movement, but when somebody found out about this, it was like I didn't think they were going to be as blatant as what they are.
No, it's amazing.
Sorry, if you look at something involved as well, right? When it started, there was a lot of genuine people down there, right? It's withered the way now to just a handful of climate change people, or the original people, no longer within there.
because I think they started this. So I said,
you're demonised if you don't agree with the rest of the group. It's all group thing.
So they pushed a lot of people with it.
Yeah. So it's.
So they would basically say, if you don't agree with us, then it's time you go.
So it's effectively now nothing like what it was when it started then?
Nothing like
that. No.
Yeah.
Have we got any idea as well? I'm intrigued because obviously we saw the same sort of behaviour at Occupy Bristol and one or two other places we've been. There must be quite a substantial number of these people. Presumably it's not the same ones moving from site to site. Have we got any idea what's going on there?
Well, the thing is, they've got an Occupy handbook.
Right. Have you got a copy?
You can get a PDF, Occupy handbook, honestly, and have a look at the format, and that's the structure, everyone. Do this, do this, do this, and it's like, have a look, see what that's like. It's
some websites, aren't they?
What, on the
Occupy website?
Occupy
Liverpool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not, one's a real...
So, who got this handbook together?
Well, I think we need to find out who's paying these people, because...
We are!
Yeah, well, I mean, we need to find out which corporations are backing this, and who's backing it. We've heard rumours of, obviously, you know, that Soros has been involved and all the rest of it. Now, the thing is that these people who are highly organised and treating everyone as though they're basically helpless children are not the sort of people who do anything for nothing. So we need to find out who's paying the wages of these people to go around and start these Occupy movements all around the world, because the original movement started, and all of a sudden these people are coming in like a hierarchy,
yeah.
And they're assuming that they are the hierarchy as well.
Even that lady for the other night, she said, "Can we not change this silly handshaking?" She goes, "Because I feel quite silly when I do this. Can I not just put my hands up?" What she said is, it's making her feel childish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, what's all that about? Why do you have to shake your hands?
Well, it's like it's making you feel like you are a child. It gives you this bit of helplessness,
yeah.
And they're the teacher. Well, basically, you're the servant and they're the master.
Yeah.
That's the way they're doing it. Say, this is how we do it, children. We do it like this. Oh no, you're gonna have to leave if you don't follow those rules,
yep.
Because this is how we do it.
So who's training them?
Well, this is what we need to find out.
Well, I know who's training them.
You know who's training them?
Tavistock.
Honestly,
go and look on the Tavistock Institute's Facebook page.
Right.
And scroll down it. They've openly commented that they're training facilitators, how to facilitate, and then go and have a look on their own website as well.
I thought this was for this dreaming thing.
No, there's loads of
more,
things.
Is there?
Yeah.
They're all about that. That's very interesting.
Tavistock, not just London. Tavistock, apparently, Occupy OWS or something, also reported on the Tavistock.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's connections all over for this.
So what?
I mean, the thing is, there's a lot of these companies that have been set up. And, you know, if we're looking at things that are involved just with the climate change, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of companies, mm-hmm. and money is going to these bank accounts, and they're getting kickbacks from government and all sorts. So it would be very good just to follow the money, because these people are highly organised. I don't think they're going to fool everybody, but they've taken hold of the Occupy movement.
So what's the solution?
Well, I do not like, I think that's the great one with the internet. Because every site is wired up for internet.
Yeah. So what's the solution to this then, guys, do you reckon? What's the way forward from here for everybody?
Buy a donkey and a yurt.
Right.
Queues get rid of them.
Yeah, for people that are going to be going to these movements, they need to be questioning the hierarchy and holding them accountable. And researching before they just listen to people, you know?
The trouble
is, it doesn't take many people to expose them, because we did that with four or five of us, really, the other night. Yeah. We exposed, going in that room, so everybody who was genuine there, and there were a few genuine people, but it was quite astonishing that most of them weren't genuine. You could pick them all out,
yeah.
and they're all down there doing something, and telling you they're doing something. But we've had a lot of success just by going to these places, like we did with the transition towns, and you can turn it around. And then I think that is a form of education, because you're pointing out to people what is quite obvious to us, because we've seen quite a lot of it. But I think that we've got to be independent in our thoughts. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
You know, people get co-opted, like Don was saying, his friends down there. They get so passionate about the thing, they'll defend it even though they're not really even understanding what the agenda is.
So that's quite interesting, isn't it? That means people are being significantly changed by what's going on there. No longer realising what they're defending.
Yeah, I'm
not the only one questioning down there anymore. Lots of people have got questions, and lots of people are being thrown out.
Well, right. Handy, if I work out there, a lot of people did check, saying, no, we do want, you know, we want more transparency.
Yeah, well, they ended up saying we could have a transparency work group.
Yes, in other words, well, we'll put that one aside for now, which is what they always do.
I mean, it's
just unbelievable. I mean, it's like such a barefaced cheat. You can't actually believe they're doing it, and that's part of the shock value of it. You think, they can't think they can get away with doing this, and they do it.
Mm.
So barefaced, and you're sat there thinking, I can't believe I'm hearing and seeing this. This is like being in some weird mind control.
It does sound to me.
Up to the point where they're covering their faces with masks at GA meetings because they don't want to be exposed.
Yeah. Yeah, why go to a meeting and cover your face? I was pretty struck by the photographs of the financial guy that came forward in the end at that previous meeting with his head all wrapped in a towel and sort of ski glasses on.
That's kind of a weird, surrealistic thing to do as well, though. It's like drawing attention to the fact you're hiding something.
Why can you trust them, dude, that's dressing up?
But it was a girl that appeared that she looked like a professional activist, you know. She was very clean-cut and she was trying to look like a squatter, what they think a squatter would look like, but they all seem to get their clothes from the same place, you know.
There's a few of them that look clean-cut, didn't they?
Oh, yes. But she... We'd already seen her face at the beginning, but... Rolling during the meeting, she covered herself up, making her look much more conspicuous, and she was going out conspiring with this other woman, and they're all part of this hierarchy in there. And it's quite interesting to see the way they assume authority. They just assume it.
Yeah.
And it is like being in some kindergarten.
Yeah, there's no equality down there, is there?
No.
It's quite
there are older people down there who are looking at it, you know, who've been in the truth movement for quite a long time and are finding it very strange. I think it's like, you know, it's putting the whole thing together and see, what's really the agenda?
What about when we tried to go upstairs, Mark? What happened there?
Well, they wouldn't let us upstairs. There's a whole floor where they just go. These elites who were running it.
Authorised
personnel only. Well, we went up there. Dom had the code for the door. And
well,
we were back down basically because the main guy there came running upstairs and said, guys, there's someone high on crack downstairs, and he was pretending to be on his phone, but it was to get us downstairs basically and out of the way. But when we went up there, the attitude was quite interesting, and you'll see that on the film because they've all assumed this kind of responsibility, so they've all got jobs to do, you know. It's not a squat. It's nothing like a squat I've ever seen.
It's just like the real world, isn't it? It's like it's been turned into a little model of the real world where everybody's being influenced and told what to do, and certain people are in charge and certain people are ignored.
But even just to get the electricity on, right, it's not a normal squat where you could just put the tails back in, the live tails. It's on with three-phase... cables here. You know what I mean? Somebody really knows, you know, what they've been to get all that back on.
Well, it really sounds bang to rights, doesn't it? I mean, I'm hoping that we've got a few minutes to the end of the show now, so we're going to have to be looking at wrapping it up. Have you got anything you'd like to say in conclusion to people about this?
There's something, like Don was saying, that's actually quite sinister and creepy about the whole thing, and I think that people that are watching, just that if anyone listens to this fine station actually watches the mainstream media, which none of us really do, apart from see what lies are coming out. We hear a lot about the Occupy movement. Even people like Max Kaiser is going on about it a lot, you know. And I don't think they're looking into what's really happening, unless that's just a phenomenon, particularly. particular to Britain because of our mass state control. But I've never come across anything quite like this bank of ideas. It's actually deeply sinister, and it's really about trying to change people, which is like what common purpose
control
or you know, it's. I think people really have to start looking at it and being looking into it more, you know, because there's an agenda being enforced on people in there,
right.
And they're using genuine mind control on people.
What's the Alex Joneses and the David Icke's and etc. saying about the Occupy movement at the moment?
Well, David Icke was he did a video which is actually quite good, I thought, saying don't be coerced and remember what the cause really is and who we actually are fighting against here or who we're trying to wake people up to look into.
I think that's actually a very good way of leaving it there, because that's a fair point, albeit from a, you know, a party that's outside the conversation. Is that's what we need to remember right from the word go. It's been clear to some people that Occupy was not what it appeared to be, and for various good reasons, as I think outlined by Rob, and that being aware of what's going on, the different ways it can be done, and being true to yourself and your friends and the ideals that we know are correct, I think is the only thing we can say, isn't it? But I mean,
I think so, because the people who are genuinely searching for truth know in their hearts what the truth really is.
Yeah.
You know, the whole point with these things, the more you look into it, the more you just see the scam. Now this is just corporate scamming. And it's like they're using corporate speak, they're using corporate techniques. They're basically using things that are very, very simplistic to control people. But it's a very fascinating thing, because when the film comes out, I think it will have a big effect, because they don't really, we didn't need to expose them. They exposed themselves as what they were within the film that we've made.
So all we need to be is alert to that. I really look forward to seeing the film, guys. I do. Let me know when it's on. And I think you're probably doing people a bit of a favour. And thanks a lot for coming on to TNS Radio as well. I think it's been a good show tonight. People seem to have enjoyed it.
So, anytime. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Keep up.
Take care, Big Man.
Yeah, keep up the excellent work, guys. I'm going to play a quick tune, and then it's on with Catherine of Gaia, who also does a roasting show on TNS Radio after Dr. Rock. So. Thanks a lot for being on, guys, and I'll speak with you all soon, hopefully.
All right, speak to you soon, Nick.
Cheers,
right.
Folks.
Right.
Well, there you go. That's the end of the talky bit of tonight's show. I've just got one tune to play out. Obviously, I'd like to thank TNSradio.com for giving me space to do all of this. If you think this is beneficial stuff and you've got a few coppers to spare, do feel free to hit the donate button. And as ever, I'd like to remind people of my home on the internet, ScottishSovereignsOnTheLand.ning.com. Thanks a lot, everybody, for listening. I'll be back next week with some more stuff from somewhere. Catherine of Gaia is up next. And thanks very much to you all for listening. Cheers, folks.